Primary Election Day 2024. Polls are open till 8 p.m. tonight. And as Marty has implored you, exercise your right to vote.
Well, don't complain, man. If you don't vote, don't whine. By the way, once you vote, give us a yell. I want to see if anyone's turning up at the polling places. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020.
We start with a story of a new study about AFib. What is AFib and why it's more common and dangerous in younger people than previously thought?
Yeah, this is kind of an eye-opening study, Larry. I know several people right now that have AFib. It's very, very dangerous.
And we are joined by Dr. Aditya Bhosle from UPMC. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Marty and Larry. Thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate it. Really important information. I mean, first of all, what is AFib for those that don't know?
So atrial fibrillation actually is the most common heart rhythm problem in the world. And in the U.S., millions are affected by it. And it's an irregular heart rhythm that arises from the top chambers of the heart and makes your heart race. And therefore, patients feel palpitations, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, or dizziness. Mostly seen in the older population, with an average age in the late 70s.
And you are a cardiac electrophysiologist, which means this is what you do. You study this. What causes AFib?
So we do understand that there are some known factors, and AFib should be thought of as a lifestyle disease at this point is what we are focusing on, because risk factors of hypertension, diabetes, obesity, sleep apnea, and the lifestyle changes have been directly associated in the older population with occurrence of atrial fibrillation, along with the standard things like having a prior heart attack that makes your heart weaker or having congestive heart failure.
Doc, here's what's eye-opening about your research, and I think it's astounding. Congratulations. So, Larry, they looked at about 68,000 patients. The old-school way of thinking was about 2% of them have AFib. Doc, you found a much, much higher number of younger folks, did you not, sir?
That is true. So if you look at our system, we see a lot of atrial fibrillation patients. And traditionally, other studies have suggested, and even CDC estimates are from a population, the prevalence of atrial fibrillation in the young, say, for example, less than 65 or less than 50, is pretty low. And the highest number that has been talked about is maybe about close to 10% or so in studies from California. But we saw that of the patients seeking care in the UPMC system, nearly a quarter actually are less than 65. And that's a high number. And that's what's prompted us to do this study, because in our clinics and hospitals, we were noticing that, oh boy, we do see a lot of younger patients with atrial fibrillation now.
What do we do with this information
now, Larry? Great question, man.
So I think part of the study tries to reach into the answer for exactly your very important question is, what are the risk factors that drive atrial fibrillation in this young population? The old traditional thought is, oh, you have what's called lone atrial fibrillation, meaning your heart is structurally normal, you have no risk factors, and by some genetic predisposition, maybe you have atrial fibrillation. Well, that's not true. I think we see here that at least in this Pennsylvania cohort, younger patients have increasing amount of cardiovascular risk factors, of hypertension, undiagnosed, of BMI being more than what it should be, and of sleep apnea that's untreated. And that drives all the cardiovascular complications of having atrial fibrillation at a younger age.
But what am I supposed to do about this?
So I think the take-home message is risk factor management. So seeing your physicians or your cardiologist and figuring out, am I leading a healthy life? Is my blood pressure under control? Am I on a track to lose weight? Am I being investigated for sleep apnea if I have atrial fibrillation? So minimizing the risk factor burden, and certainly there are studies not from us, from, say, Australia, that suggest that just cutting down on alcohol, losing weight, and increasing your cardiorespiratory fitness reduces atrial fibrillation. So I think instead of more pills, that should be the first go.
Doc, before we let you go, and I appreciate this, this is good stuff, what should I feel if I'm having a problem?
And then what do you do?
Right. I think both very important questions. Majority of patients do have symptoms. Symptoms of heart racing, symptoms of palpitations, squirmy sensation in the chest, when they feel their pulse at home with their, you know, nowadays with Apple Watches and home monitors, they'll notice an irregular pulse, an elevated pulse. Sometimes patients come to the hospital with just complaints of chest pain or shortness of breath. So I think seeking attention, even if you are young, not blowing it off, and getting an ECG or some kind of monitor so that we can either confirm or reject the diagnosis of atrial fibrillation would be the next step.
Tremendous information, Dr. Aditya Bhosle at UPMC.
Kind of scary, too.
Thanks, Doc, for sharing the information.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you for having me.